Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the Morning.
Hey, good morning. It's now 7:08 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Great to have you with us. It's often repeated that most marriages in our country end in divorce. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that statement made about marriage, generally speaking, in our broad culture? And have you also heard that repeated from people in your church? Perhaps it's the pastor, maybe it's other people as well. Indeed, that has been oft repeated over the last couple of decades or so. However, our next guest has a striking new book that debunks that belief. It actually says a whole lot more about not so much divorce, but discouragement in marriage. Shanti Feldhahn is a researcher, very renowned one at that. Her new book, The Good News About Marriage, dispels the myths and gets to the facts. We welcome her back to the program. Shanti, thanks for being here.
It is great to be with you.
It's very interesting what you're saying here in some of your recent writing, not only in your book, but on your website. Divorce isn't the greatest threat to marriage. Discouragement is. Well, what's going on with that? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The last 12 years or so, I've been doing all this social research with kind of men and women and what's going on underneath the surface in our relationships. And I've been really hearing a lot of the heart, the stuff you don't normally talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has been extremely clear over those years is that there's a lot of things that cause marriage problems, right? But there's really only one common denominator underneath whether the marriage actually makes it or fails, and it's whether the couple believes they're going to make it. It's sort of whether there's a sense of futility or not, or whether they have a sense of hope. Like, a couple can be having an absolutely dreadful time in their marriage at the moment, but if they think, you know what, we're going to get through this, we're going to make it, the outcome is usually completely different than once they start thinking this is never going to get better, and you start having that why bother thing, and it's really easy to give up. So the problem, it appears, as we've been doing this research for years, is that we have this culture-wide feeling of discouragement and futility about marriage that sets people up to give up way too easily. And it's been, unfortunately, as I started to uncover over the years in this research, it turns out a lot of that discouragement is based on beliefs about marriage that just aren't true.
That was my next question. What leads to this sense of futility, the sense of discouragement about marriage? What have you uncovered in that regard?
Well, there's a few things that I think everybody just sort of believes as conventional wisdom in the culture. The idea, for example, that half of all marriages end in divorce, right? You kind of have a flip the coin chance of your marriage ending. That predisposes people to give up pretty easily or to think, well, if all these people can't make it, you know, what chance do I have? That idea is a problem. It turns out that's not true. Another big myth is for people in the church, the idea that the rate of divorce is the same in the church, that kind of leads to this feeling of futility as well. I have a friend who's struggling in her marriage, and she says she looks around her church, and she really thinks, oh my goodness, if all these people can't do it, there's no way I'm going to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
That predisposes her to give up too easily. Another big one is the idea that that marriage is kind of complicated to do. Like, we talk about marriage being hard, and we set people up for the idea of, people think that means it requires rocket science. You know, like, you have to have a PhD in psychotherapy to make it work, and if you have problems, holy cow, you know, you're going to need a lot of counseling for the next 5 years. And it turns out there's so many of these ideas that predispose us to just feel hopeless and give up.
Mm-hmm. Shanti Feldhahn, she is a researcher, a prolific author. She's on our guest line here on Austin Hill in the Morning. The book we're discussing, The Good News About Marriage, Debunking Discouraging Myths About Marriage and Divorce. You know, that illustration I believe you were offering us of a friend that you know, a lady that is struggling in her marriage, and she looks around in her church and says, wow, there's all these divorce people around me. If they can't do it, perhaps I can't make this work either. Well, that's anecdotal. you're a researcher. You look at concrete data and concrete evidence and such. That's anecdotal on her part, but that's an anecdotal observation that a lot of us make. And so separate and apart from this oft-repeated claim that most marriages end in divorce, and I've heard that from multiple pulpits, mm-hmm. from multiple pastors over the last 16 or 18 years or so, but separate and apart from that myth, don't a lot of us have this perception just based on the experiences of people around us that marriage usually does end in divorce?
We do. And, you know, here's the problem. We give those divorces that we see way too much weight in our mind. It's like, yep, there's another one. You're kind of predisposed to see it because you've heard so often. And here's the reality of those numbers. And by the way, I should explain and say right up front that I am simplifying something that is incredibly complicated. There's so many different ways to look at the divorce rate. So it took me years to figure this out enough to even understand some of the numbers. And so just keep that simplification in mind. But reality, here's an example of a much better number. According to the Census Bureau, and this is not some little sideline study, these are Census Bureau numbers. Right now, if you look at people who are, you know, who have only been married once or twice or three times, like if you break those groups down, 71% of people are still married to their first spouse.
Okay.
That's huge. And the 29% who aren't still married to their first spouse, that includes everybody who was married for 50 years and their spouse died. That's not even the divorce rate. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the divorce rate actually is for first marriages, but we can go a whole lot closer. Everybody thinks it's 50. It has never been 50 for society as a whole, right? On average, some high-risk groups, yes, but never for society as a whole. And so we can estimate probably better, closer to maybe 25% of first marriages have ended in divorce. Now, that is still way too high, but it's a whole lot better than what people think it is,
sure.
which is double that, right? It makes a difference to know, you know what, most marriages actually last a lifetime.
That is something that, but when we see it happen, we probably observe it happen all the time, and it just doesn't fall into our awareness. We don't make mental note of it. You know, we've been talking here for about 6 minutes, Shanti Felton, and I believe you've used the word culture about four times. We live in a culture that I would say, and this is a real conservative statement on my part, it pretty substantially devalues marriage.
Yeah,
you spoke earlier about how some people arrive after a lot of struggle in their marriage. They believe their marriage is futile. Well, the culture says that marriage itself is futile. We see different demographics in different regions of the country where people simply choose not to marry at all. We see different regions of the country defining marriage differently, penalizing marriage in a variety of different ways with public policy choices and such. What is the culture? What is the culture's impact on our beliefs about our own marriages and how we conduct ourselves in our own marriages?
Well, that right there, the culture's impact is discouragement. And that is why I'm trying so hard to get the message out that there's actually an enormous amount of good news. We have bought in. I hate to say this way, but it's really accurate. We as a culture have bought into this giant lie that marriage as an institution is somehow dead or broken. Somehow we've managed to kill it, right? And the reality is that this institution that, you know, that I believe God created, if that's the case, if he's created it, we're not going to be able to kill it. Now, we can certainly do things that are stupid and we can have problems, but you know what? It's still something that if we look at this analytically and ignore all the myths and dig into what the real numbers say, there is a ton of good news. Let me give you an example of that. So I'm a social researcher and I go walk around and ask people random questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in a coffee shop, I might tackle a couple people. And one of the things that I've been asking people lately is, you know, what percentage of marriages do you think are happy? And if I ask, say, 10 people that, 8 of them are going to tell me, well, I think about 30% of marriages are happy. And they are absolutely gobsmacked when I tell them that there have been dozens of studies on this, and they all center around the same number, and that's that about 80% of marriages are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's not perfect, but that's not roommates either. Most people just, enjoy being married. That is something you never hear.
Sure.
And that is something we have to get out there. Just like another example, the idea that the rate of divorce is the same in the church. We've all heard it. We've all said it. I've said that before. And I started to look at these numbers and I realized that's not true either. We've got to get this information out there because of the damage our cultural belief is doing to people's views on marriage.
Mm-hmm. Shanti Feldhahn, she is an author and a social researcher on marriage. We're talking about her book, The Good News About Marriage. Quick break. We'll continue with Shanti and get some thoughts on how do we go about reworking things, so to speak. How do we go about dispelling these falsehoods and get the truth where it needs to go? We'll continue in just moments. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Don't go away.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's now 7:19 Central Time. I am Austin Hill. This is the Faith Radio Network. The rate of divorce within the church is just as high as it is in our broader culture, right? How often have you heard that in Christian church circles, maybe even from pastors in pulpits? I've heard it in all of those contexts. But my guest, Shanti Feldhahn, has a book called The Good News About Marriage, Debunking Discouraging Myths About Marriage and Divorce. Shanti Feldhahn, how do we go about, as lay people, for example, debunking this myth? Where's the starting point on that?
Well, the first thing to do is to actually examine where this notion comes from, and in order to say, okay, what's the real truth? The reality is everybody thinks that the rate of divorce is the same in the church because everybody thinks that George Barna, who's, you know, a leading researcher on some of these things in Christian circles, everybody thinks George Barna discovered that the rate of divorce is the same in the church, and he didn't, because he wasn't studying people in the church. What Barna Group was doing was a completely different project. What they were doing is looking at people's belief systems, and if someone could be categorized based on their sort of mental beliefs as, you know, a Christian or a Muslim or an atheist, those groups had the same divorce rate, but he specifically excluded whether they went to church mm-hmm. from the analysis because that wasn't what he was trying to study. And so what I did is I partnered with Barna Group and I bought their data set and we reran all of those numbers, but just with this one factor added back in of, you know, was the person in church last week as sort of a proxy for whether their faith was a part of their life, right? Not just a belief system.
Yes.
And if the person was in church last week, according to the Barna numbers and every other study that has ever been done on this, the divorce rate drops dramatically, anywhere from 25% to 50%. That is huge. People think it doesn't, church attendance doesn't make any difference. And the reality is it makes a huge difference. And that's just church attendance. That's not praying together or reading the Bible or any of those other things that we know probably also matter.
Right. No, that's an extraordinary shift. You note in your book that while church attendance, regular church attendance, significantly lowers the divorce rate among couples, you noted previously, and it's in your book, most marriages actually are quite happy. But you also say simple changes make a big mm-hmm. difference in most marital problems. What does that mean? What's a simple change?
Well, we think the problem is it's also very easy to give up. We were talking about what makes it easy to give up. It's very easy when you start having difficulties and you're trying really hard and nothing's changing and you're having a lot of conflict and maybe things are getting worse. It's really easy to think, you know, this is going to require 3 years of psychotherapy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality that we've discovered in all of our research over the years is that most of the time, marriage problems aren't usually caused by big, you know, big ticket items, you know, that do take a long time to solve. Those do exist, don't get me wrong. That kind of stuff does happen. Like, you know, someone's married to an alcoholic, for example. You know, that could take some time to address. But most of the time, what we found in all of our surveys is that you have a husband and wife who care about each other, and they are trying real hard, and they don't know that they're trying hard in the wrong areas in a couple of ways, or they're hurting each other, and they never intended to. Mm-hmm. And so you can suddenly make a couple little shifts and see these big differences. Let me give you an example of that.
Sure.
For us as women, you know, I do a lot of women's conferences, and one of my books is called For Women Only, and it talks about, you know, helping women understand what men think. And one of the things that's a common thing for women is we will tell our husband all day long, I love you, I love you, and we'll try to do these things that we hope he'll find to be loving. At the same time, we may be criticizing him a lot. We may be telling him what to do all the time. I'm sure no other woman but me has ever fallen into that trap, but, you know, it can happen. And we don't realize that for most men, on all the surveys that I've done, yeah, feeling loved is nice, but what they most need is to know that their wife appreciates them and trusts them and respects them and believes in them. And so when you're criticizing me, you're telling me that I'm not doing it right, I'm inadequate. That is so painful. Mm-hmm. And it hurts without intending to. And suddenly a wife goes, oh, wow, I didn't know that when I said, why didn't you do this with the kids, or why did you dress them in those clothes, that really hurts his feelings. I didn't know that. And instead, you suddenly know, you know what? If you say thank you to a guy, if you notice what he does and thank him for it, mm-hmm. that's like oxygen for him. And suddenly you say, okay, I'm going to try to stop criticizing. I didn't even think of it as criticism, but I'm going to stop trying to do that as much. Right. And I'm going to notice that he got the kids ready for school and say thank you. And suddenly he's so much more happier, and we're not fighting all the time. And oh my gosh, that wasn't 3 years of psychotherapy. That was just something I didn't know before.
A simple change, as you point out.
Yeah.
Shanti Feldhahn, her book is called The Good News About Marriage, Debunking Discouraging Myths About Marriage and Divorce. We've got info on Shanti and her book, all available at myfaithradio.com, complete with the simple changes and all. Shanti, as always, thanks very much. It's always very enlightening to have you join us. We look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks so much.
726 from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, dealing with people of Eastern faiths in North America. We'll talk about it in about 10 minutes. This is the Faith Radio Network. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.